Our first reading is found in the book of the Old Testament prophet Jonah, chapters 3 and 4. This will serve as the basis for our meditation this morning. When God saw their actions, that they had turned from their evil way, God relented from the disaster which he said he would bring on them, and he did not carry it out. But to Jonah, all this seemed very bad, and he became very angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Lord, wasn't this exactly what I said when I was still in my own country? That is why I previously fled to Tarshish, because I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abounding in mercy, and you relent from sending disaster. So now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city. He made a shelter for himself there and sat in the shade under it, waiting to see what would happen in the city. Then the Lord God provided a plant and made it grow up over Jonah to provide shade over his head to relieve him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the plant, but at dawn the next day God provided a worm and it attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind. The sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die, so he said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" Jonah said, "I do have a right to be angry, angry enough to die." So the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant. You did not work for it or make it grow. It grew up in one night and perished after one night. So should I not be concerned for Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know the difference between their right hand and their left, and also many animals?" The word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes you just want to run away. Sometimes, you don't want to be anywhere near or anyone have anything to do with what needs to be done. Some task needs to be done. Some conversation needs to be had. And you don't want to go through with it. It's a situation, it might be uncomfortable. It's going to be painful if I go through with this. It's going to be difficult. How are they going to react? I don't know how they're going to react. They might not like me so much after this. So you try to avoid it. Maybe you try to pass responsibility on to somebody else. You deny that there's a problem, but you'd rather run away. But the elephant keeps reminding you that it's still in the room. You have to do that task. You have to have that conversation. You have to do it because it needs to be done. It's the only way that the project will keep going. It's the only way that you or others will finally have peace or relief or calm from the conflict. You have to do it for the good of yourself or for the good of that person or for the good of others. The necessary change that needs to happen can only happen if you do it. If you go ahead, if you say what needs to be said. Now, I'm sure you can think of conversations or situations where you felt like that. And we all have. I mean, perhaps you need to have a conversation with someone and you've been avoiding it. Perhaps you're in a situation where necessary change needs to happen for your good or for the good of others. Perhaps you realize that someone you really don't like actually needs your help, and perhaps you're wrestling with the doing what's fair or doing what's best for them. No, as I talked about in the children's message, from little on, we have a strong sense of fairness. Little kids don't hesitate to remind mom or dad or teacher that, hey, you're being unfair. Unfortunately, that doesn't change as we get older. You look around and life doesn't seem fair. Some suffer with no clear cause. Others have to deal with the consequences of somebody else's actions. Still others don't get the just consequences they deserve or even are shown undeserved mercy. We're confronted with these unfair situations, and so often we have to deal with them, and sometimes you'd rather just run away. That's how the Old Testament prophet Jonah felt. When God gave him a very challenging task, an unpleasant, difficult task, God wanted Jonah to go to the great city of Nineveh, whose metro area was about the population-wise around the same as Seminole County. And he was to bring them a message to these people who were also the chief arch enemy of Israel. And he was to proclaim to them that God wanted them to repent, to turn from their sins and live, or they would face God's judgment. Now, Jonah's natural inclination, his natural leaning, was wanting to see that city burn. They're the enemies of my people. I would rather not have them. I don't want them to be saved. And so Jonah, he didn't want to go. He didn't want the Ninevites to repent and perhaps be rescued. I mean, how fair would that be for God to rescue the enemies of Israel and allow them to live? I mean, Jonah didn't want them to be saved, and so then they would come and harm Israel, which they would do. But he knew the Lord. Jonah knew God was a merciful God. A merciful God who cared about each and every soul, even for those Ninevites. And so Jonah ran. He hopped aboard a merchant ship to a place called Tarshish, which is basically as far away from Nineveh as someone could go at that time. But no matter how far Jonah ran, no matter how far Jonah tried, he couldn't outrun God. With a furious storm, God came after Jonah. And after Jonah was thrown into the sea, the Lord, in his mercy, in his grace, rescued his prophet with an enormous fish swallowing him up. Now, in the belly of that fish, Jonah repented. He confessed his sin before the Lord, and he offered humble thanksgiving to his God. And the Lord heard his prayer. 3 days later, the fish spat Jonah out on dry land, and once he kind of dried off a little bit, the Lord sent Jonah back to Nineveh with a very simple call to repent. 40 more days, and Nineveh is going to be overthrown. That's the message. And for 3 days, Jonah goes around the city, and this is the message he's proclaiming. Now, you go into a big city today, and you see people with signs that say the end is near. We all kind of just ignore them and go, yeah, okay. But amazingly, when Jonah proclaimed this message from God, the entire city listened. And they repented. In humility, they proclaimed a fast. They put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least. They even put sackcloth, it's kind of this rough burlap-like cloth. They even put it on their cattle, their animals. Everybody had it. They sat in the dust from the greatest to the least. They pour ashes on their head, all to make it clear, very visible, that they were in mourning, that they were humble, that they were repenting before the Lord. Even the king himself did it. And he sent out a decree to the people stating, "Let everyone call fervently to God. Let them turn from their evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent. He may turn from his burning anger so that we will not perish." So what did God do? Did Nineveh get what they deserved? No. God relented. He withheld his destruction from them. Now, how did Jonah react? Now, preachers, most of the time, if we had preached a message that was that effective, that reached that many people, we'd be pretty excited. I mean, having experienced God's mercy himself and being rescued out at sea, you would think Jonah would just rejoice over the fact that an entire city of people repented, that listened to his message and repented. Yet there was no joy in Jonah's heart. In fact, we're told that he was filled with burning anger. He even prayed this to the Lord. "Lord, wasn't this exactly what I said when I was still in my own country? That is why I previously fled to Tarshish, because I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abounding in mercy, and you relent from sending disaster." Wow. "What's your problem, Lord? You did exactly what I figured you would do. You are so unfair. You're gracious. You're merciful. You're slow to anger. You abound in mercy. You actually pull back your judgment. That's why I ran. I knew you were going to do that." And then because God was so gracious, Jonah decided his life wasn't worth living. And so he told the Lord, "So now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Wow. God had rescued Jonah, and now he's angry with God's mercy. Jonah would rather die than see those people repent. And God's answer was simple. Is it right for you to be angry? The Lord wasn't going to take his life. And so Jonah went outside the city and sulked. He thought, well, maybe God will change his mind. So he found a comfortable place on a ridge just outside the city, and he just sat back waiting for fireworks, that God would just light up Nineveh. Well, it was Florida hot out. And so he built a shelter for himself so he could sit there and watch the fireworks. But you know what? As the day went on and the sun made its way through the sky, no fireworks. In fact, it got so hot, so the heat got so intense and beat down on Jonah that he started to get heat exhaustion. And what did the Lord do for his angry servant? In love, the Lord caused a plant to grow over Jonah to provide him with shade. And you know what? Before he was angry, now Jonah's really happy. This plant, though, was to be more than a source of pleasing shade. The Lord had an object lesson for his angry prophet, because God's love isn't fair. At dawn the next day, God provided a worm. That's what it says in the text there. God provided a worm that attacked the plant until it withered in the heat. And then God provided a scorching east wind under a blazing sun. And of course, Jonah went back to being angry again. It is better for me to die than to live. Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? God asked. I do have a right to be angry, angry enough to die. Now, the fair reaction in that moment would have been for God to just wipe Jonah out, put him to death, turn him to dust, whatever it might be. But rather than take his life, the Lord opened his eyes to his unfair love. You have been concerned about this plant. You did not work for it or make it grow, so should I not be concerned for Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 people? If you're that concerned about a plant, shouldn't I be more concerned about each and every soul in that city? Friends, do you ever see yourself in Jonah? Are you ever like that reluctant, angry prophet? Do you ever think God isn't fair? Do you ever find yourself trying to run away from a difficult opportunity that God gives you to speak the truth in love to a friend or a loved one or someone else? Do you ever hesitate like Jonah because deep down you know that God is merciful, but you don't actually want someone to enjoy that love? Would you rather that person or that family or that group of people that make you uncomfortable or who disagrees with you is not deserving of God's love and therefore should go to hell? Do you ever forget how the Lord graciously rescued you with his unfair love? How he relented from destroying you with his righteous judgment as your own sins deserve? I mean, friends, do we have any right to think like that? To think that God should be fair in his judgments on them but not on us? To see people as anything less than blood-bought souls for whom Christ died? Do you and I have any right to be angry or disappointed when it seems like God is unfair with his mercy and love? No. We care so much about ourselves and what makes us comfortable and what's easy for us. To do that, we forget that God's unfair love is for everyone. We forget that God's unfair love rescued us from an eternity of death in hell. God's question to Jonah at the end of the book, it pierces our hearts. Should I not be concerned about that great city? Should I not be concerned about their souls too? I've been like Jonah. I've run away from what I thought was difficult. I have failed to speak the truth in love with gentleness and respect. I have hesitated to speak because someone was not like me or like those around me, or I held some grudge against them. I have forgotten that my Savior is a merciful God. I have forgotten that God is a God who relents because he took on himself the punishment that I deserve. I have no right to be angry or to withhold God's unfair love in Christ who sets us free from sin and guilt and death. I have been like Jonah, and so have you. Yet like undeserving Jonah and all those people of Nineveh, you and I have been forgiven. You know, that's the most unfair act of all. You and I are souls for whom Jesus died. You and I are covered with the holy blood of Christ. That's why God relents from his holy judgment. God relents from destroying us as our sins deserve. God relents from striking us dead and instead enables us to live. God relents because Jesus suffered that holy judgment in our place. God's unfair love through an enormous fish moved Jonah to obey the Lord and take his message to a hostile city that desperately needed it, even though they didn't deserve it. God's unfair love through Christ moves you and me to obey the Lord and take his message to those who desperately need it, even if they don't deserve it. God's unfair love moves you to finally have that difficult conversation, to call that loved one, that friend, that neighbor, that enemy to repentance and forgiveness through Jesus. God's unfair love moves you to cross that bridge of friendship or relationship to speak the truth in love with gentleness and respect to that person or those people who matter most to you. God's unfair love moves you to see others not through what they think or how they look or where they come from, but through Christ. God's unfair love keeps you from running away or hesitating or denying that a conversation needs to be had. It compels you to go. Because of his unfair love through Jesus, God relented and set you free. That unfair love is for everyone outside of our walls too. God's love isn't fair. Thanks be to God. Amen.